right, tonight we're going to be in Judges 14. Judges 14. This morning we looked at Judges 13. And we're going to just look at something real quickly, because then I think this will prepare us for the communion service. And I think you'll understand why when we start into the message. It's said, and this was a long time ago, 1982, so I was thinking about that. It was 36 years ago. And I seem to remember, that's the sad thing, as I was reading this story, I kind of remember it, which is not a good thing for those of you that are a lot younger. But there used to be a thing called ABC Evening News. Right? Some of you have no idea what that is. There was this box that people had in houses, and it glowed. It was really different. It was thick. All right. But ABC Evening News would come on, and it reported an unusual work of modern art. So at this time, it was modern art. And there was a craze back in the 80s of all these weird things that we're doing. That's why I kind of remember it. There was a chair. It was a live scene. And it was a chair affixed to a shotgun. It was to be viewed by sitting in the chair and looking into the gun barrel. So it was a live exhibit. The gun was loaded and set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. Okay, so this was an exhibit, live exhibit. Here's a chair. And that's why I remember something about this. The amazing thing about this was that people, you could buy a ticket to sit in the chair. The lines were out the door. All right, think about it. Now, some, it was husbands that were buying it for the one. But there was lines out the door. But they would pay to sit in the shell's path. They all knew that the gun could go off at some point, and they were at point-blank range. But they were gambling that the fatal blast wouldn't happen during their minute in the chair. So you'd buy 1 minute in the chair. Now, it's foolhardy. But as this morning we started looking at the life of Samson. That's what I almost think of with Samson. He's sitting in a chair saying, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll make it. Maybe I'll make it. And I think as we come to this passage, this morning we looked at Judges 13, believe that Samson was given to the Israelites as a testimony of separation. That's what I believe. If you look and study Judges 13, that's why it was a Nazirite vow. If you study Numbers chapter 6, Nazirites, a lot of a Nazirite vow was voluntary, but you see that God said he's going to be this. I believe he was giving a visual testimony to the people of Israel because they weren't separated unto him. As I mentioned this morning, they were satisfied. They were in bondage to the Philistines. Hey, everything's going okay. And why is Samson, remember I mentioned that this morning in Judges 15, Samson and all the exploits in the life of Samson, you never see him gathering an army. The only time that the people of Israel gathered was in Judges 15 when they gathered an army against him to turn him over to the Philistines. It was a bad state for the children of Israel. And Samson was given to the children of Israel to begin to deliver. That's found in chapter 13 and verse 5. The beginning of the deliverance. I believe the finality of the deliverance wasn't until Samuel. You see that in 1 Samuel. That the Philistines were there and finally there was deliverance. It took that long, I think, even to change the heart of the people. They were satisfied with being in bondage. But we're not looking at that. What we're going to be looking at is found in Judges 14. Now look at Judges 14. We're going to look at a couple of ideas quickly this evening before we partake of the elements. And you'll understand why. Because I want to just consider some thoughts from the life of Samson in chapter 14. In chapter 14 and verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath. It's about 15 miles if you look at a map. Remember, I think it was Zoar that we found in, and there was a man, a certain man of Zora. Zora was was a little bit west of Jerusalem, and Timnath was a little bit south and west of Zora, and probably about 15 miles max. So he went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman, Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at this subject quickly this evening, just a couple of thoughts before we partake of elements, Lord, I pray that it could be a help for us to consider our hearts. Well, thank you for what you do. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage, we're reading there in Judges 14. I'm going to read one other verse, and that's found in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. It says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I ask you as we start out, and in this passage it brings to my mind, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? That song was written by Elisha Hoffman. Elisha Hoffman graduated from a school in Pennsylvania in 1868. As a minister, he was appointed to a different kind of a circuit. He went through Ohio, worked with a publishing arm and out of Cleveland for many years. He served in chapels and churches through the 1880s. But one thing that God blessed him with was writing, songwriting. So he wrote over 2,000 gospel songs. Some of them there are many that we sing and know. One of them is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. But one that he wrote is Thy Heart Right with God? And it just came and just hit me as I was thinking of this passage. The verse, one of the verses says this, hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is there no more condemnation for sin? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? And here we see Samson, and I think that question has got to stick there for you and for me. And that is, come on, Samson, what are you doing here? You've been raised, as we looked this morning, I think Manoah, and especially his wife, I think Manoah's wife was very in tune with God. My wife and I were talking about that this afternoon. You see that in the passage in Judges 13. She was very in tune with God, had a very special understanding of God. And I think it's breaking their heart to see Samson now all of a sudden, he's older. And now you're choosing sin? Is your heart right with God? As we then come to the communion table, we need to consider, is sin taking residence in our hearts? Is sin comfortable? Are we comfortable with sin and all the crevices in our heart? I'm not talking about gross sins. I'm talking about sins that we've allowed and we've been comfortable with them. That's one of the things that Samson teaches us. One of the things Samson teaches us is that he became comfortable. He thought even, and we're going to look at it next Sunday morning, some of the lessons from the life of Samson in regards to sin. But one of the lessons that I think comes out is you may be seeing some results because God seems to just be blessing you. And then you then excuse your sin because you say, well, God must not be that man mad at me because look what he's doing. And you know there's sin in your life. Just because God is giving you some graciousness and by his mercy, he's giving a little blessing to you, doesn't mean that your sin's okay. And that's what Samson teaches us. Here, Samson in this story gives us a couple of thoughts, and that's all I want to do is give us a couple of thoughts before we partake of the elements. And all of it deals with sin. My question to you, is your heart right with God? So what do we see from this passage in Judges chapter 14? Look at Deuteronomy. All right, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I was reading this in a commentary. And I looked at this and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is, you'll understand when I give you the question. I'm going to give you four questions to consider. Is your heart right with God in the area of sin? Chapter 7 and verse 1 in Deuteronomy. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it and hast cast out many nations. So what are the nations? The Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve. So here's the passage. All right, so you see seven nations there, right? So here's my question to you in regards to sin. Is your heart right with God? Question number one, and we find it from the life of Samson. Are you looking for a loophole? Oh, look at Philistines aren't listed. And they aren't. Does it make it right? I don't think so. It's a heathen nation. In fact, even his mom and dad come to him and they call him the uncircumcised Philistines. Does that give you a hint that it's not allowed? And this is what you and I need to consider in regards to sin in our life. Is it always that you're looking for a loophole? You're always looking. Well, I don't really think that was in the rule book. And that's in the students' area. So then in the church area, well, I don't know. I mean, is that really in the church whatever? You're always trying to find a loophole. You know, I gotta have a team of lawyers to litigate with you. And if that's true, this is what I can tell you. Your heart is not right with God because you're always looking for a loophole. You're not opening up to God and saying, God, if you don't want me to do it, I'm not doing it. Because it's whatever you want, God. If we're always trying to look for a loophole, then you are not right with God. And this could be in all kinds of different areas. You know, there's some things in one family that God may not want you to do, and another family gets to do it. Because guess what, God? God is a personal God. God is a personal God. That means in my family, there are things that he wants me to come to. And as we talk this morning, here Manoah comes to God and says, God, teach me what to do. And in the next verse, God did. He came. And in our homes, God wants to come and meet with us. He wants to be in our homes. He wants to be in our lives. So there are times that whether it's a young person or an older person, God will say, hey, I just want you to do this. And you may say, well, wait a minute. Chapter and verse, God. You really saying that to God? But we are. Sometimes we have our litigation lined up. Like, well, Lord, I actually have this notarized copy right here. It says that. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But some of us, when it comes to sin, we're always looking for a loophole. Secondly, look at what it says in our passage here. So, and that's, I think we find that in relation to Deuteronomy chapter 7. So then he saw a woman. Look at verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all our people, that thou goest? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me. So is your heart right with God? One, are you looking for a loophole? Number two, is your heart right with God? Are you arguing against authority to get your way? What's he doing? Go get her. Go get her. I don't like your tone. Samson, it's your dad. I don't like your tone. And also, they may not have all the, they may not understand. Maybe it's not in the list. And Samson, we studied the Pentateuch together. Yeah, I guess it's not in the list. But Samson, it isn't there anybody. She pleases me. You're always going against authority to get your way. Then probably you're not right with God. It's always, you know, and that's what we have to consider this when it comes to our lives. We all think that, oh yeah, Samson, I don't know about that. I'm seeing some glaring problems. But there's glaring problems with us. There's some sitting here, I'm sure, that it's always everybody else's fault. And you can list out every staff member, and you can list out all their faults, and the list is huge. But you can't name one of yours. And you know what I say? You're a cynical critic that hasn't found that the God searches all hearts. And he knows the imagination of your thoughts too. He knows that your heart is wicked. He knows it's wrong. And when I'm a critic of everybody else, and I never have a problem, then guess what? Something's wrong. Because this is what I find. My list of my problems never seems to end. Because God is concerned, when it comes to our lives, he's concerned with us. When's the last time you said, all right, God, I can list out everybody else, but I'm going to let you just lay it out for me. And you better have a couple of pens ready. Because you'll probably run out of ink. Because God knows your heart. He knows what's going on. Are you arguing against authority to get your way? Third thing, look at what it says in our passage here. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. So, is your heart right with God? Are you looking for loopholes? Number two, are you arguing against authority to get your way? Number three, are you just trying to please your flesh? You're just trying to please your flesh, and somehow, like even in Samson's case, you know, he was pretty honest, wasn't he? He didn't say, you know, I've been fasting and praying for a long time. That's not in the text. It was like, Lord, I've been thinking about this, and I made a list of kind of character traits that I'm thinking of. He was like, you know what, Dad? She just pleases my flesh. What did you say? Yeah. You know what amazes me sometimes? It amazes the fleshly talk that comes out of people. It amazes me sometimes. It amazes the fleshly talk that just comes, I just like that. And you're like, well, that's sin. I like it. Well, I'm glad that you're open that way. But just so you know, that's still sin. Just because you're open about it doesn't take the fact away that it's sin. And we get comfortable with it. We get comfortable with the sin. And we got to be careful. Are you just trying to please your flesh? And you know that. You know if it's all about your flesh. When's the last time that God moved upon your heart to just restrict something? We were talking about that on Thursday night. I'm trying to teach some on the teenagers and how we can help our teenagers. And one of them is self-control and teaching our children self-control. And they need to see us as parents sometime being self-controlled. And that means that we push away. Sometimes we just say, we're not doing that for a little while. You know, God will do that to you. Why? Because He wants us to be temperate in our life. And the Holy Spirit, and evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our life, is that there's temperance. Christianity today is such a farce. It's such a joke in America because nobody, it seems like nobody has temperance. It's do whatever you want and please the flesh. That is not Christianity. The Holy Spirit in our life means that He's going to restrict things sometimes. He's going to make us temperate. Because that's evidence of Him working. Are you trying to just please your flesh? Notice, and I said we'd be quick in going through this. I try to do that when we're going to partake of the elements. So we're looking at four things in this passage. One, are you looking for a loophole? Two, are you arguing against authority to get your way? Three, are you just trying to please your flesh? All of those are evidence that your heart is not right with God. The fourth thing, notice what it says here. Then went Samson down. This is 5 through 10 or 11. Samson went down, and as he going down in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rips this lion apart. But notice the phrase, the end of verse 6, but he told not his father or mother what he had done. As I was reading, I'm like, I don't know why that phrase is there. It really doesn't relate to that. But go down a little farther in verse 8. So he returns to take her. What does he do? He reaches in the carcass. What did we just touched on it quickly this morning. There's three things that a Nazirite was never allowed to do. Take of the fruit of the vine. No razor would come to his head. And third, never touch anything dead. All right? Never. You weren't allowed to do it. So what does he do? He reaches in because what is he all about? Yep. It pleases me. That sums up Samson's life. It pleases me. I'm walking by. Ooh, there's honey there. And so I'm going to reach and take it. So he takes it. Look at verse 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and mother and gave them. They did eat. Look at the phrase again. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Two times. Verse 6, it really doesn't kind of really relate. You're like, really, that didn't matter. Did Samson, it seemed like he was a big boy at this stage? He's older. You don't have to tell mom and dad everything, but that phrase is there. But then it says it again. I think it's to teach you and I. Because when your heart's right with God, you're not going to be deceptive and sneaky with sin in your life. That's the point here. Why would it mention it? Remember, the Word of God, it's perfect. Every word God put in there for a reason. And I believe that one of the reasons this is there is because when your heart, when a test for us to see, is your heart right with God? Are you deceptive or sneaky with your sin? Because Samson is. And we know the end of Samson's life. The sad thing with Samson is he began to deliver. But he never did. He never delivered. Oh yeah, the temple of Dagon came down. But the Philistines still were in control. Because he began to deliver, but he never was able to accomplish. And I think one of it is because his heart was not right with God. I said that message, or that song has a number of verses in it. It says, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? That's not talking. I don't think Elisha Hoffman was writing about eternal security. I think he's talking about that abiding presence. Is thy heart right with God? I think he's talking about the Spirit. What does the Bible tell us? Quench not the Spirit. I think many of us, by our actions with sin, by the playing with it, our hearts are not right with God. There's an old story told of a nomad. And there was a nomad that was in the desert. It's a fictional story. But he awakened. He's a desert nomad roaming in the desert. And he awakened in the night. He lit a candle and he began eating dates from a bowl. They were there beside his bed. He took a bite from one end, and the light of the candle, he saw a worm in it. So he's like, ooh. So he threw it away. He reached and grabbed another one, bit into it, and there was a worm too. Reasoning that he wouldn't have any left to eat if he kept the light on, he blew the light out and just ate merrily on his way. You know why? Because he preferred darkness and denial rather than reality. It's a fictional story. I know, a fictitious story. But it's for you and I also to think about. Because some of us would rather live in darkness and denial than to allow the spotlight of God through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to illuminate the sin in the crevices of our heart. Is your heart right with God? Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening.